True Crime Broads with Crystal and Renee.
Hello, welcome to True Crime Broads. This is Crystal.
And Renee.
And we appreciate you joining us this evening. Renee, how are you doing? Any news?
I'm doing good. I just went out of town last week. I am actually, of course, you know, I saw you today, but for people that don't know, you know, I broke my wrist 2 months ago. And so I thought I would just give you a little update on it. I can actually use my hand a little bit, not a whole lot. I can pick up light things like a water bottle. I can actually put my hair in a ponytail.
That's huge.
Super exciting because it is huge. Because I've been like, can you put my hair in a ponytail?
Well, and you know what? When somebody else does it for you, it's just not as good. Like I was so worried when I was doing your ponytails at Crime Con. I almost called it True Crime Con. Geez. I was concerned that I was messing it up or not doing it right. Cause it always feels weird when someone else does your ponytail. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was super excited. I actually did my own ponytail and I can hold my phone. Getting better. It's still really tight. It doesn't, you know, I've got to really get all that scar tissue out of there and work it out really good. But anyway, it's getting better and I'm able to use it. But the most exciting part was I went swimming. And I was able to get in the water and swim. That was so exciting for me.
That's awesome. Was that on your trip?
No. Yeah, we did go swimming on our trip. We went a couple times, actually, because we have a YMCA here. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go there every once in a while and go swimming or, you know, one of the pools at the hotels that we stay at when we're out of town. But yeah, I got to go swimming and that was like celebration time. I was like, woohoo.
Yeah, for real. That's so fun.
Super exciting.
How about you? Oh, I was just happy to see you today. I had fun. Renee and I met for lunch. She had to go pick up some inventory for her bedding business. So, I just decided, hey, that's not horribly far for me to drive. Let's get together for lunch. So we did. And that was a lot of fun. And
I just she was so nice. She bought me lunch.
Oh, see, I'm nice sometimes. And then I just took my contact lenses out. Let me tell you something. That's like the biggest relief of the day is when I take those out. It feels really good. So I can focus on the podcast now. You know, when your contacts are starting to bother you, it's just later in the day. Nothing feels better.
Oh, yeah.
Taking those things out.
I miss wearing contacts, but I can't wear them because I know me and you have this in common. I can't see up close with my contacts in, so I can't see my phone. And it got so distracting for me that I just stopped wearing them altogether.
It's true. And especially with my new contacts, with my new prescription, I was telling someone else the other day, my distance vision, I'm like a predator. You know, I can see things far, far away. Everything's sharp, but you put a menu or something in front of me and it's all blurry because my distance is corrected so well. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I have to have my readers with me when I've got on my predator contacts. So
that's funny. Sure.
Okay. Well, did we want to do some updates now or afterwards? Cause we have an episode tonight, finally, about Missy Beavers again. Did we want to, you know, one thing we were going to discuss real, real quick is we had an interview a couple weeks ago on the phone about a potential show coming up. And one of the things that the lady was asking us about and that we talked about was how we're really, you know, we've mentioned this before, we're disappointed the way the local media and actually the national media for that matter, but especially the local media has really not paid a lot of attention to the Missy Beavers case. It's just been a little strange. And I would think for selfish reasons, Renee, we talked about this, even if it's not to inform the public and to, you know, talk about something really important in the community, how about for selfish reasons? I mean, this is the type of thing that sells advertising space. This is an interesting story. I mean, if you present this in the right way, it's absolutely riveting. It's fascinating. It's just really odd. You know, I just kind of wanted to mention that again, because us talking to that lady really kind of brought that to the forefront of my mind again about just how bizarre is that, that the media just sort of lets it go.
I know. It's kind of interesting that, and I don't really know what to make of it, but, you know, it seemed like a long time ago, media was more, I mean, when they wanted a story, they were getting it. They didn't care who it upset, who made them like, I don't care, we're still doing it. And now they're like, can we do a story? And they're like, no. And they're like, okay. And they just, and I'm not saying that to be mean, because we've dealt with several, you know, people in the media, and they've all been super nice, super, you know, we really like them, but it's just weird how they just kind of give up.
Yeah, they just
easily
they take no for an answer, which, you know, in the old days, at least when we were younger, it just seems like the media is there to hold the government accountable. They're there to say, you can't say no, we're going to run a story whether you're involved or not. So do you want me to write the story without you, or do you want to be with have a you. Hand in it? Yep. And also, you know, you think about all that, you know, they should be chasing the district attorney out to his car, for as far as I'm concerned, asking questions, or in her car now. There's been a changing of the guard there. But, or, you know, and when MPD says no, don't just lay down and say no. I really don't understand that. Of course, it's better if they willingly participate and are happy about it, but it just seems like they could just push a little more, find out what's going on with the investigation, find out if we're supposed to still be looking for the Nissan Altima. That's never been cleared up. Find out.
And also find out why. Why are they saying no?
Yeah, exactly. And also, are we supposed to have our guard up because there's a homicidal maniac on the loose? It sounds like they think it's contained to Missy and that the public at large is not at risk, but tell us that. I mean, we don't know that. And honestly, I guess they really don't know that, because this person could strike again, even though there hasn't been any similar crimes. This person's obviously off balance and obviously hasn't been caught. So it's just very strange. The silence is peculiar. And I'm really surprised at the media's participation in that, by just laying down when law enforcement says no, we're not going to talk.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just as shocked as you are. It just seems really strange, and I mean, I feel like if they would put a little bit more into it, I think they might get something out of it, especially with finding out what exactly it is that is keeping them from wanting to participate. You know, maybe there's just one thing that they're not wanting to talk about. Okay, well, we won't talk about that, but can we still do an interview? And they might be like, okay, sure. You know, you never know.
Right. Yeah, it really doesn't really make any sense. And it's such an interesting story. You know, a journalist could make their career off of this story. So if you're anyone in the media or a freelance journalist, I mean, you know, hit us up. We have a lot of information we could help share with you, or don't even call us. Just do a story on it. Do your investigative thing.
Yeah.
We're just ready to see this case get more attention. That's why we're here doing this podcast. But, you know, it would be really nice to see media do it, the mainstream media.
We get contacted all the time about, you know, as you know, we've done a few different things. And I mean, I just feel like if they, Collie, I know we've talked this out so many times, but I just wish they would just release a little bit more of the surveillance. What do you think?
Yeah, just it would really help. Or how about tell us why not? I mean, they're just going to give those same pat answers that, you know, they want to protect certain things about the case. And that makes perfect sense. And we're not asking law enforcement to divulge everything to the media, of course not, but it would be nice. The times that they have asked the public for help, I think it's high time that they update us and tell us, are we still supposed to be looking everywhere for this Nissan Altima and then calling it in? Are we supposed to be concerned about a maniac on the loose, you know, all that kind
exactly
of
stuff. Still a list of questions.
Yeah, same old thing. We just kind of repackage it every now and then because we get exasperated, but it's nothing we haven't said before. Okay, so there was something else I was wanting to mention that was in the news recently, and I meant to mention it on a previous podcast, and it just got away from me. This was actually a couple of months ago. It was in May. This is just very interesting. You know, we talk about wrongful convictions, and that's something that as a young person, a really young person, a kid and stuff, I never really put any thought into that. I thought the police are the good guys, the prosecutors are the good guys, the criminals are the bad guys, and they just go out and catch them, right? Well, I got older and I learned a little more, And I realized that's not always the case. Prosecutors can sometimes get a little overzealous. Sometimes they can be very competitive. And sometimes they just want to win. This isn't all prosecutors, so don't y'all send me hate mail. I'm talking about sometimes, okay? Every once in a while. And I just found this to be very enlightening because, you know, I get really sick and tired and really sad watching these people who've been in prison for 30 years or however long. And then you see them on the news being paraded out of the prison or jail. And it's like, wow, they were wrongfully convicted all those years. You can't get those years back. Sometimes they'll get a little lump sum of money, but that's not going to repay you for all that time that you lost with your family and your career and everything and just your freedom. So, and you know, we talked about this, you, me, and your daughter, my daughter, actually, Brittany,
right.
We were talking about the death penalty, and you can't reverse the death penalty when there's mistakes made by the state. So I just wanted to mention this. It was in the news, a Dallas County prosecutor had gotten in trouble for withholding evidence that was exculpatory evidence in a case that he was prosecuting, and he actually got disbarred, and the two men thankfully were cleared of the murder. And his name is Rick Jackson here in Dallas, and he is apparently the fourth lawyer in the county to lose his law license after misconduct that led to wrongful convictions. This is the first one I've actually noticed in the media. Not sure how strongly they covered the other three, because I only remember seeing this one. But I'm just glad to see there's finally going to be some consequences for this behavior. It just seems like it's been going on a while, and you see examples of it in cases all over the United States. So I'm just happy to see there finally be some consequences. So that was all I wanted to say.
Right.
And
that is a big issue, and I'm glad that some, you know, that things might potentially start to turn around in that realm, because it's just not acceptable.
Right. Okay. So did we have anything else we wanted to cover before we jumped into the episode?
So we talked about the playing cards that were going to be distributed throughout, and I say throughout Ellis County. I think it's actually, they're going to two different jails. They're going to be going to Ellis County Sheriff's Office, which is in Waxahachie, where I live, and then Midlothian Police Department. So they distributed 200 packs of cards in Waxahachie, because that's where the county is, of Ellis County Jail. And then Midlothian Police Department is getting 20. And Crime Stoppers of Ellis County is the ones that actually paid for these, for the Missing Beavers case. And Sherry is the one that helped me over there get this done. So we are so thankful to them for getting this handled, getting these cards, you know, put together and distributing to the jails. We're so thankful for that, because, I mean, anything that can potentially get us more tips in to get this thing solved is what we're going for. So we're super happy about that.
That is so cool. When you first told me about that, I thought that's the neatest thing. And I'm like you, you know, that was one of the reasons Renee and I met today, is I really wanted to see those cards and she wanted to show them to me. So we got together for lunch. And that was just amazing to see it. And I'm exactly like you. I thought it was going to be like a few cards about Missy and a deck of cards about different cases. So that's really cool that this whole deck of cards is about her.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, this doesn't happen across the board, so we're super happy that this is, you know, came together, and we're hoping that it makes a difference. You know,
you said "soupy happy," and I don't know. Let me just tell you. Sorry, I must be tired, because that really wasn't that funny. Okay.
My daughter is she's always telling me what moon is in what.
Retrograde,
there must be some kind of something and something, because I have been stumbling with my words literally for 2 days. So if I stumble with my words, y'all just go about your day and don't even think twice about it. Okay.
I didn't know we could blame that kind of thing on retrograde, the moon and retro.
Yes, that's exactly what we're gonna do.
I'm down with that. Oh, hey, guess what? We got a really good review on Apple Reviews, you guys. We thank you so much. This person's name is, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's K-E-M-A-C-E. So it's like mace with K-E in the front of it. And the title, okay, the title of the review is Genuine Caring Host, and they gave us 5 stars. I'm going to go ahead and just read it. The hosts of this podcast are a true testament to what true crime podcasts should be about. Crystal and Renee are in it because they care about finding justice for Missy Beavers and her family. I have so much respect for them and for their perseverance and their pursuit of this goal. They don't have the best audio. They're not making millions off this show. They show up because they want to, because they care. And that to me is truly remarkable. Rock on, Crystal and Renee. Rock on. Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate the We really appreciate the wonderful review, and we will keep pressing on. And I guess that's it. We wrap up what we wanted to say before we get started. I'm hearing some wacky interference from Zoom right now. I sure hope it's not going to be in our recording.
Y'all just be patient with us. We're trying.
Literally trying. Okay. All right. So are we going to just jump into the episode here, Fanny?
Yes.
You need to go take one of those things I gave you.
Sorry.
It's okay. I was just cracking up.
Yes. I'm so sorry. It's okay. There's not only weird planets moving around and making us talk crazy, there's also stuff in the air.
Not being able
to talk right. Okay.
All right. You want to get us started?
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to be talking about the perpetrator, as seen on the surveillance video that MPD put out for everybody to see. Is that a man or a woman? What makes us think man or what makes us think woman, basically? So one of the first things that I want to mention, and this is, you know, my favorite one to say, when I think of the look at this perp, I see a woman because of their stance. There's a part in the video, surveillance video, where they are standing there and they have this female stance. One of their hips is kind of popped up. And, you know, I guess it's possible that a man could do that, but that's definitely a woman, a female stance. So that's one thing that makes me think woman.
I agree. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Those who are listening, it's when the perp is in front of that door and they're kind of putting tools into the little doorknob and they're just sort of messing with it. They've got their hip popped and they're kind of doing that flamingo stance we've talked about before. And that's just, right, you just generally speaking, that's just not a guy go-to position.
Right.
Okay. So one of the reasons why I always thought it was a male is because just the simple statistics of violent crimes, you know, are more likely to be perpetrated by men. But also, to me in particular, it was the swift and efficient delivery of violence that made me think of male. I'm not trying to knock my own gender, but I'm just saying that when women fight, just from what I've seen, there just tends to be more like pushing, hair pulling, slapping, slipping, falling. It just is a lot more of a hand-to-hand combat between women who aren't professional fighters, of course, just seems to be kind of messy. And I just, now this is back before we were aware of if there was a gun or not, and we're still not 100% sure. But my point is that just looking at it from a hand-to-hand combat position and someone killing someone with a hammer, I was just thinking that looks like a guy took her over and was able to, you know, to deliver that kind of quick and efficient violence. So that's that. And also, it didn't hurt that I had a specific male in mind that I thought the perpetrator was. So you kind of look at things through that lens when you have a perpetrator in mind that you think it is. So I was sort of, probably my viewpoint was colored by that at the time.
Sorry, it must have cut out for a second. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead. You want to pick another attribute?
Yeah. I wanted to say this real quick first. Remember when we had Bobby Chacon on our podcast? He mentioned that when he would look at cases, he would actually, okay, so it could be this person, and then he would watch, like if he had a surveillance video for you know, a crime that happened, and he would actually look at it and think of that person or whatever. And then he would do the same thing with others and try to see which one would fit. So I just wanted to throw that in there because when you said that, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said that he would go to it like maybe 24 hours later. You know, he wouldn't do it close together. He would come back completely fresh and then look at it again. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, so another one that makes me think female is the use of tools or lack thereof. When the perpetrator is, this is the same scenario, sorry y'all, but when the perpetrator is trying to pretend like they're getting in that door or whatever, they're just tapping on it. And I just don't see a man or my husband or any man standing over there just tapping on something gently like that. I would see them like, you know, sticking that screwdriver in there or that crowbar and, you know, actually popping that door out. So that's another thing that makes me think female, because they're just using those tools like they're not familiar with them or they don't really know what to do or how much force to use with it. So
And you know, you mentioned something that was one of the reasons why I used to argue it was a male, was the fact that they had all those tools. Apparently they had some tools in their vest. You could see them taking one tool out, putting another one in, trying it. I'm not saying women can't have tools. It's just between the two of us, my husband's got a lot more tools than I do, and he knows more about them, and he would be more likely to bring them. For example, when we go to my brother's house to do something or my mom's house, you know, we're working on both their houses. He'll bring tools. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even think to bring tools. But he knows that we'll probably run into something where we'll need a tool. And I would probably get there and go, wow, I wish I had this, you know. So I just felt like that kind of spoke male to me. And then another thing, and you'll laugh because I used to bring this up a lot, is when that headlamp comes on. I remember thinking, my husband and I watched that. We're like, oh, this is years ago. We're like, that's got to be a guy. Because I had never even thought about those before I got married. And my husband busted out with one and he put it on his head so he could work on the car and have both his hands free. I just thought it was the funniest looking thing I ever saw, but I'm just not familiar with that. And I mean, I don't know a lot. I'm not saying women don't have those, but I just haven't. I don't have any female friends that wear those on their forehead. Do you?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
I've never seen one of those in person, actually.
Yeah. So the fact that the perpetrator so comfortably was wearing one and was turning it off and on when they needed it, that just kind of spoke male to me as well.
Right. All right. Are you next? I forgot who was going.
I can be if you want me to be.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We were talking earlier about how the walk of the perpetrator seems a little more feminine and the pace of their walk is a little, the perpetrator kind of has a pep in their step that you see them kind of going around that corner. I'm not saying that men can't walk fast, but the perpetrator seems to be shorter in stature, which is actually another, attribute, but I'll mix it into this one because it kind of fits. Kind of, if you're shorter legged, you kind of tend to walk a little faster, or you have a smaller stride simply because your legs are shorter. And it seems like the perpetrator just kind of scoots around that corner. It just looks like a feminine gait to me. And even if I don't take into account the shoes or the unusual gait, if I just look at it male versus female and not thinking about anything else about the gait, it does look feminine in parts. And also you and I have talked many times about the actual height. After being in the church with you a few weeks ago, I really feel like this perpetrator is short. I don't think that MPD was misleading us about that original 5'2 to 5'7. Now they're saying 5'8 with all the equipment on. That seems dead on after seeing you standing next to that Dutch door, that I would say that this is a shorter person. And there are short men out there, but statistically, women are much more likely to fall in that 5'2 to 5'7 height range than men are.
Right. I totally agree with that. You know, one of the reasons that I feel like people believe that this is possibly a man is because of the police uniform. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that women, I know there's women, you know, female police officers, and I believe that they should be there, but I feel like people typically think of a man when they see a police officer. So I feel like that's one of the reasons that people disassociate, because, you know, in the very beginning, they were like him. And I think that was just an automatic response to what you're, you know, used to. I'm sure they have, what, 90-10 with male and female? I mean, I don't know the ratio, but I just feel like people automatically think man when they see a police officer. Crystal? We must be having some technical difficulties. Hang on just a second, y'all.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so back to what we were saying. You know, I meant to mention when we were talking about the violence, you know, statistically, that type of violence is perpetrated more often by men. I meant to mention, you know, in that HLN show that we've referred to several times, Murder in the Church, part of the Crime, Lies, and Videotape series. John Buehler made the point that that's typically more male. And, you know, Bobby Chacon said the same thing. I think Bobby still thinks it's a male. But John Buehler, here's something interesting. When I was looking back at the Scott Peterson case, now I know where I know him from. He was one of the original detectives that worked on the Lacey Peterson case. So that's where I knew him from. It had been kind of driving me crazy. I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. So that's what it was. Now he's like a guest on all these shows, but he was actually a detective working on the Scott Peterson case, Lacey Peterson case back in the day. I heard everything. You weren't hearing me. I'm not sure what's going on, but I apologize, everybody. Once again, we had an audio glitch. Sorry. So hopefully it didn't mess too many things up. Let's see. So yeah, we talked about the height. We talked about tools. And we talked about violence, police uniform, the walk, and the stance. There's one more. Did you want to do the last one, Renee?
Sure. Okay, so one more thing, that I think people would probably look at the perp and think that that's a man is the foot size appears to be bigger, which typically men have bigger feet. It's not, you know, 100%, but that's typically what you see or what you, you know. And I believe, this is just my own personal opinion, that this person has some type of foot, I forgot what they call it, some kind of cover or some kind of shoe in or whatever, where they put their shoe inside of something else that makes it appear bigger and also have a different impression that it would put, like if they were to step in, you know, water, or blood, or in the dirt or anything, mud, whatever. But I feel like that is something that makes people gear towards men as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I was just thinking that it looks to me like a woman wearing men's shoes. And you can see the Under Armour emblem on the side. So it kind of looks like police tactical boots, perhaps made by Under Armour. Or it could be the low cut Under Armour. You really can't tell. That that's just not good enough quality video and those pixelated still shots. It's impossible. But you can see the Under Armour emblem. Thanks to you. You blew that up and sent it to me. That was pretty crazy looking. And but anyway, it looks like a woman wearing men's shoes to me, and then that's probably affecting the gait. You know, sometimes MPD, like on the 5-year anniversary, they even said that it's possible that that gait was caused by a temporary condition. And, you know, the first thing that pops into mind would be an injury or something, but it could also be just that they're on that occasion wearing shoes that are too big. And we've talked about this many times, like when you've put on Keith's shoes and I've put on Mike's, you walk funny when those shoes are too big, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard to walk in something that's heavier, bigger than one you would normally wear. And you can't, your foot's not supporting the entire shoe. So therefore it's going to clop, or it's going to move in a different direction because it's, you know, not the proper size for you.
And the main thing I think it does that could very well be the case here with this perpetrator is it makes your feet turn out.
So
yes, which in turn makes everybody think there's a specific gate, and it's actually not even a true gate. So
right, okay. Know. So we were going to embed a code word into this episode for a giveaway that we're doing this coming Friday, and the code word is justice. So that's it.
Code word justice. So if yes. you've listened to the podcast, you know the code word, and then we will tell you what to do on our page and in our group. Are we going to put it in the group?
Yeah. Freebie Friday. We'll put it on our page and our group. How's that? Okay. Well, this is awesome. I think that, did we cover everything that we wanted to cover this time?
We did. I just wanted to tell you a little, it's just an interesting thing to share with you. The majority of our listeners are obviously going to be females, and I can't remember the age group. What is it, like 40 to 50 or something?
Yeah.
Pretty much our age group. And so I thought I would share this because I figured y'all might all appreciate this. While I was driving from Huntsville to Lufkin, I saw a store. It was very interesting. It caught my eye. It was a Family Dollar / Dollar Tree. And I was like, what the heck was that? It wasn't just one or the other. It was both. You could tell it was different. And so when I got home, I looked it up. I thought, what was that? I know it was Family Dollar / Dollar Tree, but you don't see them one of the same, which obviously if you're a mom or you have family, whatever, you spend a lot of your time running errands, buying groceries, picking up, school supplies for kids, and being able to go to one store that has two different things is like killing two birds with one stone, obviously. And so anything like that just excites me. I don't know about you, but anyway, so I looked it up. So apparently Dollar Tree bought Family Dollar back in 2015, and they were trying to combine the stores because I guess Family Dollar wasn't doing so good. And so they're set to open 600 stores across the country in 2021. And they're going to, do that combination, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And I guess it basically is going to have, because I was kind of interested in what it was going to look like. So it's going to have one store on the left and one on the right. And then walking down the middle of the store is like the divider, but it's two and one, And then while I was checking that out, I came across another interesting thing. So I'm just going to share this real quick. Dollar General has come out with a store called Pop Shelf. And they've opened up, I think, like six or seven, two or three in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. So it's it's a Dollar General, but it's a higher quality Dollar General. And I looked at a video of it, and it's really cool because it's more spaced out and everything's nicer and neater. If you've been in Dollar General or Family Dollar, those stores are real compact, and there's always those carts with all the boxes where they haven't done their, stocking and all. It's just crazy. So I just wanted to share that real quick. I thought that was interesting.
Do It On A Dime, that YouTube channel I send you videos of.
Yeah,
she had done an episode a few months ago about those new stores that you're talking about. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, I'll just send it to you. And did you know that Dollar Tree also bought Dollar General, not just Family Dollar? So that's cool.
Yeah, I saw something right after that, and I didn't have enough time to do that, look at all that, because I was so interested. I was like, this is so cool. They're supposed to debut those Pop Shelves in the fall. So
that's going
to
be awesome. That. I know.
It
I hope we get
looks
one.
Like a Five Below. I know.
I love Five Below.
I know I do too. They're really neat. I'm just hoping they bring some around, but this is what I thought was interesting. It says that they're gearing towards people with higher income bracket, and it's going to be a $5 and below most, not everything, but most of everything will be. And I was like, what?
That's cool.
I know. It's just kind of weird how they titled it. But anyway, but yeah, that's it. I just wanted to share that. I thought it was interesting, and people that listen to our podcast might enjoy that. So
awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And okay. Well, we just want to thank everybody for listening to True Crime Broads. Thanks for bearing with us. You want to hear something really funny? I'm not even sure I don't even know if that was actually an audio problem. I might've hit the mute button, and it's so easy for me to hit it by accident. I think that might be what happened.
Okay.
What happened? Now those little popping sounds, I sure hope those don't come across. I don't know what that was. Okay. Well, thank you again, everyone, for sticking with us here at True Crime Broads. And we appreciate each and every one of you greatly. And we hope to talk to you soon.
Good night.
People. Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here? People. Hey. Pick up the black. Cover the clock. I paint cash. You little man. I bust the bag. You took the cash. How could you fast? You had a gas. Moneyness, that is in my crew. Everywhere we go, we dripping like we fool. Everywhere we go, we dripping till we cool. Dripping in the summer shade, people do not know shade. Ayy. Margiela on my shoes. Mason Margiela, and I walk around like shoot, shoot, shoot.
Yeah.